Psalms chapter 128. Psalms 128 this morning. Been praying and looking and asking God what he would want for this service and for this message. And I know sometimes the challenge is when you get a special day, you think it's Father's Day, the only people in the room that need to listen are fathers. That's just not true. But this morning's message, the Lord kind of laid it upon my heart a little while ago, and I'm interested. I don't really know how it's going to turn out because I went to a couple number of different passages kind of just trying to get exactly what the Lord was laying upon my heart. And it's always been this in Psalms 128. I'm hoping that at the end it will all make sense. But it's called a happy home. It's like, what in the world about a happy home? You know, I've been, my family and I have been, been here almost 18 years now. And I've had the opportunity and privilege of working with lots of different people, lots of different families. And unfortunately, there's not that many happy homes out there. There's sometimes people that don't enjoy being with one another when they live inside the same house. Unfortunately, I've even seen husbands and wives who've committed to stay together for their entire life, admit it, but they don't enjoy being there. And so this morning, I want you to look at a few things that I think you find in a happy home. And it's right from the scriptures. The word happy, way the world throws it out there, might be completely different than the way that the Bible looks at it. So I'm thinking, and as I'm looking through this, and I was looking for fathers and Father's Day and challenges is there. You know, some of the verses that mention fathers, one of the things it tells them to do is not to provoke. It says in Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And I'm thinking when I read those verses, I'm thinking, okay, that means what some would say, that means that we should be easy on our kids. Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to discipline our kids. It says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." The Bible says, "He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." He said, I get all that, Pastor, but how happy is your home today? And I'm not talking about something that you can buy. I'm not talking about something. Anybody can get somebody excited for just a few minutes. Anybody can do something that would be joyful and exciting for just a little while. I'm talking about a place where the love of God is at, where the joy of the Lord is present, and that where they are thankful and they are happy and they are someone who actually enjoys being around one another. A happy home. Sometimes families don't enjoy one another. Sometimes families can't wait to get out of their house. Sometimes families even cannot stand each other. So where did the message come from? I remember a few months ago I was meeting somebody, not for the first time, but the first time in a while, and they said something. It was a comment, and they said they live in a happy home. And I began thinking about that and pondering that and thinking about, hey, is my home a happy home? Is my home a spot where the joy of the Lord is evident and present? Is my home someone I enjoy spending time with? And as I began studying and look at it, you know what? There's a happy home found in the Bible. Look what it says in Psalms 128. It says, "Blessed," which is another form for the word happy. If you go and look up in the Strong's Concordance, this specific word that's found in the Hebrew also is used as happy at different spots in the Bible. "Is everyone that feareth the Lord." Now, I like that phrase, everyone. I'm an everyone type guy. You know, I think Christ died for everyone. I think that salvation is offered to everyone. And then he says that this is something that if you do in your life, it says, "Blessed, happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be. And if thou shalt be well with thee." Now, I think this is written to fathers because it says thy wife. Now, once again, we believe that it's one man and one woman and it's for life. So when he's saying thy wife, he's definitely not talking to another lady here. He's talking to a man. He's talking about a husband. And even as you see later on, speaking about a father. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. You have that a second time. The first one is saying everyone. Verse number 4, he's speaking about a person who is blessed, whose wife is fruitful, whose children are present. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. For a second, go up to Psalms 127. These are called songs of degrees. If you see that, it's a little inscription that's written underneath them. It's reference to the fact that as they were heading to Jerusalem and heading to the place of worship, they would sing these songs as they would travel many times for those feasts. But look what it says in verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This morning, my goal is to please the Lord, but also to help encourage us today by having a happy home, a place where people who love the Lord is going to love one another. And as they love the Lord and love one another, they're going to make a difference in this world. And we're going to look at some principles that I think could help that. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us this morning. Lord, I know I need your help today, Lord. I want you to give the exact words that need to be said. Lord, I want to be encouragement. I want to be a help. And Lord, I want to make a difference, Lord, with your help. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know their Heavenly Father, that's never asked Jesus Christ in their heart as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you today through the preaching and teaching of your word. And Lord, I pray for once again the fathers today. They have a big role that's ahead of them, a God-given role, Lord, that they would embrace some of the things that are being said and lead their family to be a happy home. In Jesus' name, amen. As we mentioned earlier, he says, look, provoke not your children to anger, provoke them not to wrath. But then it says, hey, look, you need to make sure you're keeping your kids and making sure your kids are doing what they should. So where is the mix that's there? And the reality is there is a mix. It's being like Jesus Christ. Christ is a wonderful example because he's someone who's full of passion and full of compassion, but also did what was necessary. See, sometimes people like to put Christ inside a little box, or they like to have a certain thought. And I know some people out there, the only Jesus that they know, the only Christ they like to hold to is that one who made that whip and ran everybody out of the temple. That's the only Jesus they know. That's all they look at that and says, well, look, he was holy. Yes, he was holy. I mean, he took that whip and he ran everybody out of the house. But that's a small picture of who Jesus was. He also was a man that was compassionate. A man, when the woman was taken in the very act of adultery, he showed compassion to her. When he saw those lepers and they were there, and I told my Sunday school class this morning when he went to heal the 10 leopards, he knew that only one was going to return. And he says, if it was me, if I was God, I would have just healed the one and told the other 9, just go away. You're not going to be thankful anyway. But I'm not God. I'm thankful I'm not God. And you're not God also. But we can become like him in the scriptures. And if we want to be a passionate and a compassionate person that's not going to be provoking our children to wrath and that's not going to be provoking our children to anger, but we're going to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but we're also going to be someone who needs to discipline our children, someone who's raising our children, someone who's being patient with their children. It needs someone who is spirit-filled. We need someone who is following after Christ. We need someone who's going to be like Christ that can be full of truth but also full of mercy, that can be full of truth, but also full of grace. We need someone who is going to be well-rounded and someone who is spirit-filled. And the reality that's found here in the scriptures is there are some places that people are just not happy. I've met believers that don't have joy in their lives. I've met believers and been in people's houses where people don't really particularly like one another. I've met some dads that they're like bullies. And you might not like to hear that, but they use their position as something to beat somebody over the head, and they like to provoke people to wrath or provoke people to anger. They would never say they would do that, but they just push and they push and they push, and there's no compassion, there's no love. And this is, they use the words tough love, but when they do that, many times they don't care, and because they don't demonstrate that they care, that's only going to work for a little while. Sooner or later, that child is going to be bigger than you are. Sooner or later, that child is going to be out of the house, and then you're not going to have that person. And then I see other dads that are absent, that are just not there, whether they have left the home or because of the fact they have other interests or because of other reasons, they're just not there in part of their children's life. I've seen dads that are weak, and I've seen dads that are just don't care about spiritual things. But here you see in this passage of Scripture the person who's blessed, the person who's happy. And then when you're reading this, I think it actually paints a picture in my mind of a happy home. You have a father who fears the Lord. You have a wife who is fruitful and children that are there around the table side. You say, well, you use that word happy. What does it mean? Well, listen to some of the scriptures that the word happy is written in. And these are just in the book of Proverbs and a few in the book of Psalms. But it's a complete difference than what you see that the world would say it's happiness. It says, happy is that people that in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That it's the happy people is one who's going to say that God is the Lord of my life. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3:18 puts it this way, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her, talking about wisdom. Proverbs 14:21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Listen to what the scripture says. A person who's truly going to be happy is a person who keeps the law, a person who is fearing the Lord, a person who is helping those that are without, a person whose God is the Lord. Psalms 114, verse 15, happy is that people that is such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. His God is the Lord. Psalms 146, verse 5, happy is that he that hath the Lord hath the God of Jacob for his help. And listen, whose hope is in the Lord is God. So I know the world would say, hey, if you get to do what you want, you're going to find happiness. You might find a short temporal something that you enjoy for a little while, but true happiness is found in the presence of the Lord. True happiness is found, as it says in verse number 1, he says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. So the first thing I want you to think about is fear. Pastor, fear and happiness, it's right there. And if you say, well, it doesn't apply there. Well, look what it says in verse number 4. Blessed that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The person that's truly going to be happy is the person who has the right perspective of the Lord, has the right perspective of God, has the right perspective of what the world is like and who God is. I think about when it talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, it's talking about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you have a proper perspective of God? He said, if you really want a happy home, we need some fathers and we need some dads. We need some husbands. We need some men that will lead their home with a proper perspective of who God is. They are not God, but they are the ones that God has given the right and the place to be the head of the household. Here, if we think about, you say, fear the Lord, some people think about that word fear and think, well, am I supposed to be scared of God? No, it's talking about someone who reverences the Lord, someone who does not want to upset God, someone who does not want to disappoint God. Sometimes I'll joke around with some of the kids, teenagers or whatever, and there's a child that's there, and I'll pick on him, and I says, yeah, I don't want anything bad to happen to you because your mom and dad, they scare me. And I jokingly say that. Sometimes I'll even say, if it's a really nice, sweet lady, I'll say, yeah, your mom scares me a whole big bunch. I don't want anything bad. And you know what? I'm not afraid of that person. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to disappoint that person by allowing something to happen to that child. Some people say, well, I'm scared of my wife. I'm scared of my husband. Well, if that's the case, that's sad. But at the same time, I don't fear my wife, but I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint her. I don't want to do anything that's going to bring shame to her where she doesn't want to say, hey, that's my husband, or I don't want to do something that's going to... When I'm thinking about the fear of the Lord, one of the great examples there is I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint him. I don't want to do anything that's going to fail him. I don't want to do anything that's going to bring shame to their name. It's not that I'm afraid of another human being. It's the fact that I fear the Lord and I love the Lord and I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to fail him. And I truly believe it's having a proper perspective. We think about that verse in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. Isaiah was sad because King Uzziah died, and he says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He went from a place where he was worried about the nation of Israel. He went from a place of saying, Uzziah, good king, he's gone. What's going to happen now to Israel? And then later on in that chapter, he's saying, here am I, Lord, send me. I trust you, Lord. What happened? What was the difference? He had one perspective, and his perspective changed when he saw God. And here in our homes and in our lives, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whether you're single, whether you're a child, if you have the right perspective of God, the Bible's saying is you're going to be a happy person. You say, what do you mean? He says, if you know your God is the Lord of your life, happy is he. The person that finds wisdom is truly happy. The person who keepeth the law is happy. If you know these things, the Bible says, happy is he if you do them. The reality is, if you truly want a happy home, we need people that are filled with people who have a right perspective of who God is. He's still sitting on the throne. No matter what else is happening in this world, no matter what else is happening in this life, I can retreat back to my house because there's people at my house and there's people in my home who love the Lord and who have a right perspective of who God is. And that's what it's saying here in verse number 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. That means father, mother, child, whoever it is that's inside that house, if they fear the Lord, they will be blessed and they will be happy and they will find the joy because their joy is not found in this world. Their joy is not found in alcohol. Their joy is not found on the TV or on the computer screen. Joy is found in knowing who God is and having the right perspective of him. I walk into some homes and there's no joy. There's no happiness. There are people that get along because they have to. It's interesting that you say, what's the difference there? They're not. Many times people don't got the right perspective of who God is. If I can trust God with my life, if I can trust God with my family, that means I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be overwhelmed. I'm not going to be trying to get my own and take things away from them. And I think about that individual that said something about a happy family. And then I thought about so many times I see brothers and sisters. And I know sometimes they may not get along, but they fight. This week at junior camp, and your kids did a great job. They were wonderful. They were well-behaved. Anything we asked them to do, they did this. But there's something that challenges, there's a challenge with the generations that are coming. They're very pushy and shovey. You know, I got to be first. It's my turn. It's this. It's that. And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, maybe I was like that when I was a child. But it's something that we need to teach them. They can't see that from me. They can't see that from the other leaders. They can't see that from the moms and dad. They need somebody who's preferring one another, Bible says, loving one another, comforting one another. It's, you know, what do they see in us? Do they see someone who loves the Lord and fears the Lord and say, hey, I'm going to let that person go first because God is there and I don't want to do anything that's going to disappoint him. And I began trying to teach and just in different game times and just saying, hey, yes, you need to be competitive. You need to try to win. You need to have a good time. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we don't do something that's ungodly in the name of a sport. And they see that sometimes from somebody, from somewhere. I don't know, but they've learned that. And our children, they're the next generation. They're the ones that are going to be in the church house. Someday they're going to be the ones that are in the pulpits. Someday they're going to be the ones teaching the classes. And they need to understand that we fear the Lord. It's not something that we're afraid that he is going to zap us dead because that's the wrong image of who God is. But we should be afraid of what might happen if I continue in sin. We should be fearful in the fact that I want to learn to love him. And as I learn to love him, I realize he sees everything I do. He hears everything I say. He sees everywhere I go. And I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to fail him. I want to live for him. And that's what he's saying. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. First thing was fear. Second thing I want you to think about is family. Today is Father's Day. And I think this is written, as I mentioned earlier, to a father when he uses the idea of thy wife. Verse number 2, it speaks about how the husband or the father takes care of his family. He says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Talking about how he provides the labor and how he's doing the work that's there. When you think about a family, I think about a father first and foremost because of the role that he has inside the family. As I mentioned earlier, don't provoke. At the same time, make sure you're disciplining. Make sure you don't let him get away with things. The challenge that's there, but skip down for just a little bit and look at what it says in verse number 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. You know, there's some interesting verses in the Bible sometimes people chuckle at. And here's a couple. And you say, well, you're going to preach about this on Father's Day? Well, you'll understand. It says in Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Some are chuckling. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, keep on. It's not only the one. God didn't make a mistake. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. You know, women's live places would not like that verse today. But the reality is there's people inside houses today that would rather sit up in an attic than have to spend time with their wife because of the way she acts, and vice versa. It's not a happy home. It's written there for a reason, because God knew that there was going to be homes like this. And that's what it's saying here, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the sides of thine house. And I think about the word fruitful. We've been talking about fruit bearing. You know, I've had husbands tell me, I can't stand to be around my wife. It's better for me to just do what she says because it's not worth fighting over. That's not a happy home. But that happens sometimes in places that are called Christian homes. You say, what's the problem there? There's somebody in that relationship that doesn't fear the Lord, whether it's man or whether it's a lady. And don't get me wrong, I know the Bible speaks about the brawling and talks about the contentious and the angry, but I've heard the ladies say the same thing. There's a problem there. I've seen it from kids that are angry and brawling and contentious. That you say, well, that's not a happy home. People call, well, I have a Christian home. Just because there are people that are there inside the house that are Christians doesn't make something a Christian home. What makes it a Christian home is when someone wants to fear the Lord and follow a Bible principles that are found and have the structure that's found in the scriptures. And I want to encourage you today, it's a wife who produces fruit, and the fruit of the Spirit is the greatest fruit that will ever happen. I know some people, a wife that can produce certain other fruits, and they can produce, hey, physical things, and they can do this and that, super talented, but it's the fruit of the Spirit coming out. And I know in the last month or two, we've been talking a lot about the fruit of the Spirit. Ladies, is there any really love in your house? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there long-suffering when it comes to your husbands? Is there love and joy and peace and long-suffering and temperance? All those things, which are such there is no law against them, are those fruits that are being produced in your life. And I respond, it starts off with a husband that fears the Lord that should also be producing fruit. And it continues on that as the wife who loves and who's supposed to submit to the husband who's fearing the Lord, as that happens, she begins also to produce fruit. And then you see also the children there that are present. Look what it says at the end of verse. It says, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. And I see that word table. You know what that does? Reminds me of the dinner table. How often is the dinner table prevalent in our day and time? Sometimes people hear the word, hey, let's go to dinner. And instead of heading to the table, they're heading to the car. We're missing fellowship that's so much necessary in the day and time that we live in. And this is something I know is a challenging day that we live in, and it's a challenging time that we live in. And these are things that maybe even I should get better at. But when we go to the dinner table and all they're doing is looking at their phone all day, or when all they're doing is looking at their tablets and they're not spending time together. I think the reason why this is written here is the children like olive plants. The children are present. We're there. We're involved in their lives. We're not just sending them somewhere else for somebody else to teach them all the time. We're not just sending them somewhere else for them to be in a hobby all by themselves. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sports. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a hobby. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going out to eat. I'm saying that there's present. The children are present. The parents are present with the children. And they are teaching them, and they are training them, and they are being patient with them. Sometimes I feel like we think kids are supposed to have the spiritual life of a 30 or 40 or 50 years old. And we expect them to think like we do and act like we do, and we have never taken the time and been with them and showed them and demonstrated them the fruit of the Spirit. It comes, and I believe it starts with the father who fears the Lord, has a proper perspective of who God is. He sees him sitting on the throne, and he sees what he's done for us, and that he loves us, and that he cares for us, and he knows what's best for us. And I'm going to, like it said, happy is the man who obeys the laws. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. And there was a number of things, who has wisdom. And it continues as a wife who also is fruitful and bearing fruit, not just in the idea of the fruit of the womb. I think it's referring to other things and what spiritual fruit we can have. And then you have children that are present, children who are learning from their father and learning from a mother who has taken time and cared and invested in their life and poured in their life, who had family devotions with them, who taught them the Bible, who taught them the Word of God. And I know that men have to work, and I know sometimes there's long hours that are there, but I tell you, it's important that we spend time with our children, that we teach your children, and that we like quoting Deuteronomy chapter number 6, but in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, it talks about how we teach them as they're walking by and as they're inside the house and as they're sitting down. And as I picture them that are eating together. He said, Pastor, you don't know all the things. I know the struggles that we have today. And I see a generation that is letting TV raise them, and who's letting their friends raise them, who's letting pop culture raise them. And then we wonder what happens to them when we do not take the time. Instead, we are sometimes people that act like we're bullies, and sometimes we act like we're not even there, and sometimes we act weak. We need people who love the Lord and have a proper perspective and fear the Lord. And as they fear the Lord, they teach them who God is, because God has taught them who He is. Children, obey your parents, it says in the Bible, in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's not a lot of honor going on today. To even try to explain what honor means to a child today is a challenge, because a lot of them don't even respect mom or dad. And why is that? Mom and dad's not there for them to respect. Psalm 16:11 puts it this way, Thou wilt show me the path of life. Listen to this phrase. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I think the best thing that we could do for our families is to show them the presence of the Lord, to teach them that God's watching, God hears. But to have devotions and family times, this is something I should do better at. This is something that many of us need to do better, is teaching our children the Bible and spending time praying. When's the last time your child heard you pray? So last time your child heard you pray for them? When's the last time your child has, or even your husband or wife, you've prayed together? We do this on Wednesday nights. We try to find someone to pray in with somebody else. You can pray individually. I'm not saying you're right or wrong for not praying with someone, but there is something about when your family hears you pray for them. Something intimate about spending time with God and them hearing you call out and say, please help them. We want them to do what's right. We want them to live for you. Ushering them into the presence of God. Last but not least, not only do you see fear in family, look at the future too. Future. You keep on going. It says verse number 4, Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And I think it goes down from the blessing that's in verse number 1 that involves everyone, but the man who takes care of his family in verse number 2, the wife who is fruitful, the child that's present, and then you see the blessing that happens there. Verse number 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. To me, I think that's a happy family. They got something. They understood something. They all have a fear of the Lord. They all want to live a life that is wants to please and honor God. They're all on the same page. They're all headed the same direction. They're all living for the same reasons. And you can have joy and you can have happiness. And I'm not just talking about during game time. I'm saying that when things are hard and things are tough, you say, well, how can you be happy or joy or thankful then? It's because you got the right perspective of God. It's because of the fact that you know God's still on the throne. Even though there's problems, even though there's hard times, we still find our happy and our joy and our peace in the fact that we know who God is and understand the Lord too. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Psalm 78. We're going to close over there. Psalm 78 is probably one of my favorite passages when it comes to passing down to the next generation. I know we have alluded to it over the years many times. It's one of the passages I was considering starting off with this morning. But the Lord, I believe you can see a picture of a happy home there in Psalms 128. But in Psalm 78, you see there's a couple words here that really just kind of stand off the page that would make a person's home happy in my mind. We'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 7. We're going to focus on verse number 6 and 7, though. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. Say that next phrase with me. And our fathers have told us. There's a responsibility. There are certain things that a father is supposed to tell our children. We will not hide them from their children. And I think sometimes people hide their faith from their kids because they don't have a proper perspective of God or because they're distracted by other things. Then look what it says, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. You know, we like to show our authority, but to show them not just our authority, but the praises of the Lord, what he's done. Not only his praises, look at this, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. We are demonstrating, we're showing to that next generation who God is and what he's done in our life and how he's been strong and the wonderful things he's done for us. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So there's a commandment there. You're supposed to tell your children these things. It's not just, hey, that's the pastor's job, that's the Sunday school teacher's job, that's something. No, he's saying this is something he has commanded them to do. Now come up verse number 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the generation which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So here's the thing. He says, not only are you supposed to do this, you teach them to their kids, so that way someday they'll teach them to their kids. I know that I've heard a person one time tell me, if I realized that my kids were going to be raising my grandkids someday, I would have raised them a little bit differently. It was easy to turn around and give in and be merciful and be kind and just kind of turn a blind eye to certain things. But then I realized that someday they're going to be raising my grandkids. And the way my grandkids are turning out is discouraging. And then those grandkids are going to raise the great-grandkids and the generations to come. But what are they supposed to teach them? Look what it says in verse number 7. Declare them, at the end of verse number 6, who should arise and declare them to their children. And here's the purpose. This is the reason why, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. He said, look, you need to do all these things so that way that those kids will learn to hope in God. They're not just hoping in mom. They're not just hoping in dad. They're not just hoping in their talents. They're not just hoping in what America could give them. They're not just hoping that they're going to win the lottery. They have set their hope. They have the established principle. I know God can take care of me, and God has a purpose and a plan in my life. I'm trusting in him. If the rest of the world falls apart, my hope is not found in a country. It's not found in a school. It's not even found inside of a church, is found in the Lord. And then it continues on, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. So often we says, don't you know? Remember God does this and God did that? Nope, I didn't. Judges chapter number 2 says a very sad verse where it says that they forgot God. A generation came on the scene who did not know the Lord or his mighty power or his mighty works. It keeps on, but keep his commandments. Look what it says in verse number 8, and we'll be done. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast of God. Think about what it's saying there. He says, look, we don't want them to turn out like your fathers did. Those things that you struggled with, we want them to set their hope in God. We, and he uses the word stubbornness there. He says stubborn's a rebellious generation. There's people that have came on the scene. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. And we turn around and we make the excuse, that's just the way my dad was. That's just the way my granddad was. That's the way my mom was, my grandma. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. If Christ lives in you, you can't use that as an excuse, because you can make a difference. You can change your life to show your kids that what God's done in your heart and what God's done in your life, to teach them, hey, look, you can set your hope in God because God can make a difference. And I've told you before, my hope is that my kids go surpass me spiritually far more than I'm hoping that they don't have to deal with some of the things I dealt with and they don't make some of the same mistakes I did. I don't want them to be like my dad, their dad, that's stubborn at times and that's rebellious. I want them to be able to live for God and do what's right. Well, who are they going to see that from? They have to learn that from me. Look at what God's done. Look what God can do. And as they see that, it starts with a dad that fears the Lord, a wife that is fruitful, and then a child that is present. This morning, I pray some of this made sense. It's unlike a normal message that I would have. But I just think, I go into homes and I see people, families that are not happy, husbands and wives that don't enjoy one another. And it seems like they're on going different ways. If I can get this, I'll be happy. I've seen teenagers. If I could just have this one thing, I'll be happy. I'll never ask for anything ever again. And if you could get that in writing and they could sign a document and never ask for another thing again, you'd probably give them whatever they want that one time. It doesn't work that way, does it? They get that one thing and they want something more. It's something that we all know that we're not going to be satisfied and happy unless we find it in Christ, unless we find it in Him, unless it's in our relationship with Him. How do you view God this morning? If you truly want a happy home, I truly believe it begins, as it talks about in Psalms 128, the person who fears the Lord. That's everyone. And I know sometimes there's sometimes people who do not know Christ inside the home. There's sometimes people who don't care about God inside the home. And you can find your joy and happiness in Him today. I want to encourage, first of all, the fathers that are in the room, think about it for a few minutes. Do you have a happy home? I'm not saying, can you laugh sometimes? And there's a little picture of joy when you're doing something everybody likes to do. I'm saying, is there a happiness and a joy of the Lord that's present in your life and in your family's life? Because it can be that way. I've gone to some homes and they like one another. They enjoy one another. You can see that the joy of the Lord. And many times that's in a home that doesn't have as much as somebody else. They spend time together. They help one another. They're thankful for one another. I've even seen brothers and sisters that actually enjoy being around one another and that are friends with one another. They would call them their best friends. And it happens. Why is that? Because they have the same picture of who God is. As they see God high and lifted up, they realize, I'm serving the same God. It's not me against them. It's me working with them for a greater cause and a greater purpose. There's a home and there's a family here. I don't know about you. Maybe you've never been in a home that seemed unhappy. But I'd say that more of the homes I've been in is filled with friction, heartache. A place where it's established, God made to be a place of safety, has become a war zone. And there's husbands that would rather stay outside and work on things, even when they don't need to, than spend time with their wives. There's something wrong there. And there's wives that would rather do something else, anything else, than have to spend time with their husbands. We need to change something. There's something that needs to happen. And it begins with having the proper perspective of the Lord. Fear Him. And then let Him lead and guide you. Be that person that can, that won't provoke their child to wrath, but also will have a strong hand of discipline and raise a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When they use the word train, doesn't say, hey, you show a kid one time, one thing, they're going to pick it up just like that. No, those kids I was talking about not shoving, not trying to do this, not trying to do that. Next day, they were doing the same thing. They had to learn that over and over. And it wasn't just one certain family. It seems like most kids have that inside their nature. Foolishness of a child, it's bound in the heart of the child. We have to be willing to work with that, but we have to be grown up enough to be able to demonstrate that we have the right perspective of God. Maybe your home today isn't the happiest place. Thankfully, our hope is not found in us. Our hope is found in what God can do in your home. Maybe there is something that we should pray and ask God to give us the right perspective of who He is and fear Him in the way that we treat our family members. And God, convict our hearts if we live in a house. Convict our hearts if we live in a house that's full of strife and we're not doing anything to change it and we're not doing anything to pray about it. Now, I know there is family members who do not know the Lord, sort of like Pharaoh. I don't know who your God is. I'm not going to listen. Why should? No, I'm saying for yourself, if there's things in our hearts and our lives that there is strife and we're not even praying about it, convict our hearts. We need to be that dad that doesn't provoke, but we also need to be that dad that knows how to raise the child and not let him get away with things. We need to be like Christ, a very well-rounded individual. Father's got a big plate ahead on them, big shoulders to have to carry. We need God's help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And Lord, it would be easy to want to talk about our Heavenly Father and how great he is. Lord, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, how you're merciful, how you're kind, and how you're sweet. Lord, how you sent Jesus to die for us, and Lord, that is so true. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you and can't say that they're a child of God, I pray that during the invitation time, Lord, you convict their hearts. I know there wasn't a lot said about knowing you, but Lord, I pray that you convict their hearts. We know that the Word of God can do anything. Lord, I also pray for the families in this room. I love them, Lord. I think they're wonderful. I think they're great. Pray for them. And Lord, in the last 18 years, I've been in and out of homes. I've seen some homes that really don't enjoy one another. They all claim to be Christians. They all claim to want to do what's right. But they're challenged on how they behave and how they treat one another. Lord, convict our hearts if we're not praying for that. Convict our hearts if we have a home that's full of strife more than a home that is full of safety. Lord, I know we threw a lot of things out there today. And Lord, I pray you apply it and convict where it's needed. And Lord, if we do have a place that is a happy home and we have a husband and wife that love one another and want to work together for the cause of Christ, Lord, help us to be thankful and grateful for that and make principles and establish principles in our lives that we can continue on that way. It's not like that in every home. Lord, I pray that as we talk to the husbands and the fathers and the men that are in the room, Lord, help them to have the fear of the Lord. Help them to see their responsibility and grab it and say, this is something I need to do. I need to be more like Christ because I want my family to see Christ. Lord, I pray for those ladies in the room that maybe they're challenged with how they treat their husbands. And Lord, if there's ladies in the room that have husbands that would rather be dwelling in the corner of the housetop because of the way they treat their husbands, Lord, you convict their hearts today. Begin a work in both their hearts about wanting to love you and love one another. And Lord, I pray for the children that are here, the next generation. Lord, that they would hear something like this and say, I want to make a decision that I want my home to be a happy home. And I'm going to do everything in my life and my power right now as a child or as a teenager to make sure that I am ministering unto my parents and my brothers and sisters more than needing to be the one minister to. And I see where God has put me in this family, and I am going to do my best to live for him and my family. And someday, I'm going to make sure that I live in a happy home. In Jesus' name, amen.